Now stay tuned for Aapka Kya Vichar Hai? What is your opinion?
Hello and welcome to Aapka Kya Vichar Hai? What is your opinion? Program that gives food for the thought. I'm Sheila Dandekar. And today we have a privilege of having a guest in our studio. He is visiting here our church this week, having special meetings. And he is from Georgia. His name is Michael Atwood. Welcome.
Thank you. It's very great pleasure to be here. And looking forward to having this chat together.
Yes, well, I did introduce him as Michael, and he said, well, people call him Mike, and that's what we'll call him on the broadcast today.
That's good.
It just came from my mouth, Michael. And so anyhow, that's a lovely name too. We are so happy that you took time out to come. We would like to talk a lot of with you because you have been conducting meetings in our church, and your topic is Christ is the answer. And that really, many of the sermons that I heard were really touched my heart, and I thought it would be great to have you, and our listeners would also benefit from your thoughts today. But first of all, we would like to know a little more about you. You're from Georgia, and as everyone is saying, you surely don't have a Georgian accent. So tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Well, certainly I live in Georgia, but I was not born there. I was born in a city called Leeds in the north of England, and that's where I grew up and spent the first 26 years of my life. And so although I live in Georgia, I'm really an Englishman. And I'm very happy to be in this area because I want to tell people about Christ being the answer, because he has been the answer in my own life. And one of the things I'd like to do today is tell my own story of how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Now, coming from England, I would say, like, you know, people have idea, people from Western world, England, America, are Christians already. Mm-hmm. And so when you say you like to tell your story and how you came to become a Christian, or how you found Christ is the answer, mm-hmm. and that intrigues people because it's a new thought.
I think if you would have asked me when I was a child, or even in my teens, what my religion was, I would have probably said, I'm a Christian. Because I was not born Hindu or Muslim or any of those other religions, so I would have said I was a Christian, but I really wasn't. It was just Christian in name only. I did not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I was born into a Roman Catholic family, and would have been taken to church every Sunday mm-hmm. from being a baby, and my family were very dedicated to going to the Catholic Church. And I think it was in my teenage years when I first began to sense there was something wrong. And the thought came to me, actually I was in church on my own. The school that I went to was just across the road from the Catholic Church, and so I was waiting for the school bus. There was a long delay, and so I went in and was just kneeling there and just praying and contemplating, and a thought came into my mind, Mike, you're a hypocrite. And that was a surprising thought to come into my mind.
And when you say thought came, it just you were praying there.
Just praying there, and that thought just came right into my mind. Huh. You're a hypocrite. And I began to think about it, and I thought, you know, that's really quite true. Because the parish that I was in, we had two priests, and one of them could say the Mass very quickly, and the other one took a long time. And so we would look in the bulletin, and we'd always go to the quick priest, and just, as it were, get our religious ritual over for the week, and then we'd go our own way, and basically hardly think about God again until we repeated the ritual the following week. And I remember thinking, Really, this is not having any impact on my life at all. It's just a empty ritual that I'm going through once a week, and it's making no changes to my life. And I felt if that's Christianity, it's not doing anything for me. It's not making any real changes. Yeah, so at that time I spoke to my father. I'm an only child and only son of this family, and I spoke to my dad, and I said, I don't want to be a hypocrite, Dad, and I just think it's hypocrisy for me to go through this ritual and not have any effect, and so I'm going to stop going to church. And my dad didn't approve of that idea. He said, you're in my house, you obey my rules, and you are going to church.
And at this time you were in your teens.
In my teens. And so I did continue until I was 18. And then at 18 years of age, I decided enough was enough. So I stopped going to church and was very much part of the English culture, very much unfortunately, very much the English culture. There's a statement they talk about, the lager-lout culture, where a lot of people go binge drinking and every weekend carrying on and carousing, partying, all that kind of thing. And that was basically what I was involved in. And even that, I really felt was empty. I remember one day I had a good job and going to work. And I'd already spent my wages. I got paid Friday, and this was Monday morning. And just going to different bars and drinking, and all my money had gone. I didn't even have enough money to buy a sandwich on Monday morning. And I remember thinking to myself, there's got to be more to life than this. That the social scene doesn't have the answer either. And so I began to think, well, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? What should I be involved in? And so pretty deep thoughts for somebody in there. I was probably 19 at that time. And then something happened, and it's kind of a my story is a love story. I think everybody that comes to know the Lord Jesus, it's a love story, but mine's a double love story. Because
well, everyone likes love stories, and especially love story would be great.
So anyway, I transferred from one. I worked in power plants, the electricity supply industry. And I transferred from one power station to another power station, and ended up working in administration. And I was sat across a desk from a very beautiful young lady. And I thought, well, maybe this is something worth living for. There's a, here's a beautiful young lady, and she was from Ireland. And so I began to talk to her each day and ask her if she would be interested in going out with me on a date. And she always said no. It was quite a blow to my ego, because I was very keen to get out with this girl. In fact, as soon as I saw her, I thought, I'm going to marry that girl. And it's kind of interesting I'm telling this story right now, because I did marry that girl, and today is our 27th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my. So 27 years ago,
yes.
You saw this beautiful girl.
Yes, and so I asked her for a date, and she always would say no. And I realized, because she was from Ireland, and Ireland is a very Roman Catholic country, and so I assumed that she must be Catholic, and I decided, because the direct approach wasn't working, that I would use some bridge building. And so I asked her where she went to church, thinking she would say to me she went to St. Patrick's or St. Mary's, and I would suddenly rediscover my Catholicism as a means of getting out with her. And so I asked her where she went to church, and she, well, she gave the wrong answer.
Oh.
She said that she went to City Evangelical Church in Leeds. And so I asked her, I said, well, what is an evangelical church? Because I'd never heard that term before. It was a new term for me. And she said, well, we simply believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and everything that we do is based on the Bible. So I said to her, you can't be serious. This is the 20th century. Now it's the 21st, but back then it was the 20th century. I said, this is the 20th century. Nobody takes the Bible seriously anymore. And certainly I didn't know anybody in my social world, in my immediate circle, that really believed the Bible. And so she said to me, and she asked a very good question. She said, well, have you ever read it?
I see.
And, of course, there are a lot of people today that dismiss the Bible But how, and they will even say things like, there's lots of errors in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But you ask them, well, have you ever read it?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll say, no.
Hmm.
And so I'll say, well, how do you know there's lots of errors in the Bible if you've never read it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just going on hearsay, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she challenged me to read the Bible, and I was determined that I was going to pursue this girl. And so I figured if reading the Bible was the way to do it.
Did you have a Bible?
I did. The Gideons had given us a Bible in high school.
Oh.
And I had never really read it. It was just on the shelf, gathering dust.
Huh.
But I pulled my old Gideon Bible down from the shelf, and I began to read it. And every book that I've ever read, I always started on page one. And so I did with the Bible. I went straight to the book of Genesis. And I would read on a night, maybe five or six chapters before I'd go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I would write questions down to ask this girl the next day.
But when you went to Catholic Church, you had not heard the stories?
Well, in the Mass, in the Catholic Church, they would do three readings. During the Mass, they would have an Old Testament reading,
mm-hmm.
and then they would have a reading from the Gospels, and then they would have one from the Epistles.
Mm-hmm.
But the sermon was never really connected to the readings.
Uh-huh.
So it really wasn't explained. You know, it was like somebody just read it, but nobody actually ever explained the Bible. And so really I was fairly ignorant of the Bible. I knew some things. I knew the Lord's Prayer,
mm-hmm.
and I knew certain verses that you would have heard, you know, love your neighbor thing. They were common statements,
mm-hmm.
but generally I had never sat down and read the Bible myself.
Mm-hmm. So was it difficult to read from the Genesis?
It wasn't really. I found Genesis very interesting, to be honest, and very easy to come up with questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I would ask it questions like, it starts out, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And immediately I challenged the issue of evolution. I said to her, you know, everybody knows that, you know, 6 billion years ago we crawled out of a bucket of slime, and some say from the goo to the zoo to you, you know, that kind of evolutionary thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the questions, and she firmly believed that there were a lot of real problems with evolution. It's a theory.
Mm-hmm.
It has never been proved, although mm-hmm. you would think, by the way it's taught in our universities and our educational system, that it is a fact, but it still is the theory of evolution,
mm-hmm.
which means that it's never been proved.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, how can you prove it?
Mm.
You can't go back to the beginning and observe that, because, you know, science is the whole idea of observation.
Yes.
And you can't go back and observe that. So anyway, she had been reading ahead, and she had some really solid answers that made me feel very uneasy, made me realize that I had accepted a lot of assumptions, but they really weren't thought through.
Huh.
And so we continued on reading through Genesis, asking questions, and then into the second book of the Bible, Exodus. And then I got to the book of Leviticus. Now, that's where I started having real problems. It was hard for me to understand it. It really was.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I can remember thinking to myself, I could never understand this book.
Mm.
I was getting kind of discouraged by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told her, I said, I can't get this. I don't even know what questions to ask anymore in Leviticus.
So you could not carry on conversation as intellectually as you would like it to
no,
be.
No, certainly not. And so at that time,
mm-hmm.
she said to me, well, why don't you read the New Testament and begin in the Gospel of John?
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought, I want to go out with this girl. If reading the Bible is the way to do it, I'm going to do it. So I started reading John's Gospel. And I came to a verse that is a very well-known verse, John chapter 3, verse 16,
mm-hmm.
and it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Mm-hmm.
And as I thought about that verse, and by the way, it was the first time I ever remember hearing that verse.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm 20 years of age,
mm-hmm.
and I've never come across, and that's one of the most popular verses in the whole Bible, but
yes.
I had never really
mm-hmm.
thought about it or been confronted with it. And so as I thought about it, it said, God so loved the world. And I thought, well, I'm part of the world, therefore it must mean that God loves me.
Oh.
And then it said that he gave his only begotten Son. And I was thinking that I'm an only child and an only son. And I was thinking, my parents would never give me up for anybody. And yet here is this loving God giving his son for us. And of course I knew, because of growing up in a Catholic background, that what that meant was that giving him to die on the cross.
Yes.
So I was really overwhelmed with the love of God. And I remember thinking, if God loved me so much, I should really try and respond to that love and pay more attention and try and clean my life up a bit. You know, I'd kind of been doing things I knew I shouldn't be doing. And so I began to try to, you know, kind of what you'd call self-reformation, you know, trying to change my ways maybe stop swearing as much and not drinking as heavily you know, being involved in, you know, fights and all these kind of things, just try and be a nicer person. But I found it was very difficult. I found it was difficult to even think straight, never mind live straight. I mean, I found that sometimes I could hardly put good thoughts together in sequence. You know, I'm trying to change, I'm trying to be a good person, but it's just not coming together. And I was very discouraged at that time. And so this girl said, I'd like you to read another book. And she gave me a book, and it was on the subject of sex, courtship, and marriage, and the Bible.
Just what you wanted.
Well, that's exactly. That's, I mean, this was now speaking my language. This is what I was looking for from this girl anyway. But the book was it really was what God used to show me that I was so far away from his standards, because it laid out God's standards for human relationships and what God expected of us, and my life was just the opposite. And so at the end of that book, I felt very much that I was guilty of breaking God's laws, and that God had the right and would have been perfectly fitting for him to punish me for my sin. And that was very deeply held at that time, because I just thought, you know, it would be a terrible thing if I was to die now and know that I have broken God's law, and that, you know, of course, if you break the law, you should be punished.
Yes.
And the Bible does say the wages of sin is death, and that means to be eternally separated from God. And I thought, if I was to die, I would go to hell. I just had come to that conclusion. I was just enough evidence of what I had read in the Bible, and now through this book. And I remember being very concerned about even going to sleep at night for fear that if I was to die in my sleep, I'd end up in hell. But I knew I couldn't change. You know, I had tried to change myself, and I couldn't do it. And at the end of the book, this man, Josh McDowell, the author of the book, he said that there was a man that lived a life that I could never live. He was somebody who was perfect in every way. And of course, that's speaking about the Lord Jesus. And because we've said already the wages of sin is death, well, here's somebody who never sinned, so didn't have to die. And yet, McDowell explained that he did die. He died on Calvary's cross.
Yes.
And so the question was, well, why did he die? And the answer that he gave was, he died as a substitute instead of us. See, God did love the world, and including me. He loved me. And he didn't want me to go to hell and be punished for my sins, and so much so that he said, I'll take the punishment that you should have had. And I understood that. And I remember the date very clearly. It was the 16th of June, 1981. I was in my own bedroom at home, and I knelt down at the side of my bed, and I thanked the Lord Jesus for loving me and for dying for me on the cross, and I asked him to be my Savior.
Well, that is a great story, a love story indeed. Now, this from the Lord, actually, that he loved you so much.
He loved me, that's right.
Even the very first thought that came to you when you were just a teen was that this is hypocrisy. And then later on, it came to you as the sinful ways that you lived. But God was speaking to you all this time.
Very definitely.
And so God is moving to you, to Himself. Well, let's break for the song, and then we will see if you got the other love for you.
Chua, mujhe chua, Yeshu ne jab chua. Chua, mujhe chua, Yeshu ne jab chua. Wo andhere hat gaye, sare paap kat gaye. Jab Yeshu ne chua, chua, mujhe chua. Yeshu ne jab chua, chua, mujhe chua. Yeshu ne jab chua.
और किनारा मिल गया
यीशु आ गया हाँ छुआ मुझे छुआ यीशु ने जब छुआ हाँ छुआ मुझे छुआ यीशु ने जब छुआ वो अंधेरे हट गए सारे पाप कट गए जब यीशु ने छुआ हाँ छुआ मुझे छुआ यीशु ने जब छुआ हाँ छुआ मुझे छुआ यीशु ने जब छुआ.
Trust you enjoyed the music. Today's music is chosen from Vanveer's album. Vanveer's album is available. If you just call, we will make it available for you. We are talking today with Mike Atwood. He is visiting our church and speaking to us every evening, although this broadcast will be aired after he is gone, but you'll get the benefit of what he is telling us every evening here and today to you. He just narrating his love story of how the God, Lord Jesus, wooed him to himself, and that was through a girl. Actually, he felt this gal who sat across from your desk would be your wife. Mm-hmm. And did she finally say yes to you after saying no to you several times?
Well, she did, but not immediately.
Uh-huh.
After I had become a Christian, accepted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, and I came back to work the next day, and I told her that something had happened last night. And that I had definitely become a Christian. I had received the Lord Jesus in a personal way.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't believe me. She thought that I was trying every trick in the book to get out with her, and this was the latest ploy. And maybe I should just say a little bit about her. She too was raised in a Roman Catholic family in Ireland, but
uh-huh.
Had become a Christian in a personal way, trusted the Lord Jesus as a Savior back in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
And God had used a verse in her life. She was a very good living person, had gone on pilgrimages and done all kinds of things. She'd even seen the Pope twice, and very, very religious person. But somebody had been preaching one day and used a verse in the Old Testament, Isaiah 64 and verse 6,
mm-hmm.
that says, all our righteousnesses or all our righteous acts
mm-hmm.
are as filthy rags before a holy God.
Huh.
And it was so upsetting to her because she had using her whole life to build up righteous acts to try and get to God. And now to be told that it's not going to work, it's not good enough.
Huh.
And then she had heard that the Lord Jesus came to pay for our sin, and that's why he came. And she received the Lord Jesus in 77, and she had made a decision that she was not going to date somebody who was not a real Christian.
Mm.
And so it didn't matter what charms that I used,
mm-hmm.
she'd already drawn a line in the sand and said, I'm just not going to marry somebody who doesn't share my personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because how can two walk together unless they be agreed, you know? So
mm-hmm.
so that was her thinking. So she just thought I was tricking her. And
mm-hmm.
But she did see that there were some real changes that took place in my life, not immediately, but slowly but surely. Old habits, the things that I tried to change before, now actually happened. My speech was cleaned up. I stopped swearing. God had given me something better to say, so there was no need to use those words anymore.
Mm.
And I stopped drinking because I come from a family where alcoholism has been a problem. My mother was an alcoholic, my grandmother was an alcoholic, and I certainly was very much prone to that kind of a way of life. And I didn't think I could ever give up drink, and God just took the desire. I just didn't want to anymore.
Mm.
And because I had a deep joy that, because I knew the Lord, and I didn't need to use artificial stimulants to make me feel good anymore.
Mm.
So, so eventually, she began to see some real changes. And everybody else did at work. They were asking, you know, what's happened to Mike? You know, it was obvious that there was a change.
You
and of course,
you didn't go along with them as you did
before. No. And of course, the Bible does say, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what we're saying about Christianity. It really begins with conversion, with a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, who changes people's hearts. And that's what he did with me, and eventually that became obvious to others, including the girl, Anne Marie. Might as well give her a name. We've just been calling her the girl up to now.
Marie, yeah.
Anne Marie. And,
Anne Marie.
And so she began to see that I was the real thing. Yeah, I was really genuinely a Christian, and we started going to church together. And then she agreed to go out with me. And so I was became a Christian in 81, 16th of June, and then we were married on the 1st of October of 1982, which is 27 years
well,
ago.
Well, congratulations
today.
To you for your 27 years of marriage, and you finally got your gal.
I got the girl. The persistence pays off. And so I got the girl, but I got a lot more than that.
Well, I'm so happy for you, because even to be married for this many years is commendable in today's world. But then if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as what we'll talk in a few minutes, that's the answer. So no matter what situations one faces, you'll explain that, I'm sure, as we go on, that we can swim through with the Lord as answer and the Bible as our guide. But now, one thing before you proceed, I want to say, now you did mention that you were partying and lived a life of enjoyment, and your wife, Anne Marie, she was a very religious person. She, from the beginning, she did the pilgrimages and so forth, a devout person. And both of you felt the need of, felt the need that you were, there was an emptiness. So, because a lot of times we have the thought that people who have this problem or drinking or alcoholism or whatever, you know, that those people who need conversion, we are good people and we are moral people. So, we don't have to repent. What is there to repent, you know?
Yes.
We are good people. So,
I would say that, first of all, what you just said is, we say we are good people, but that's not what God says. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's just a question of degree. Maybe I was a particularly, maybe more notorious a sinner than somebody who was religious like my wife, but she still did things wrong too. She didn't live up to her standards. Because the Bible does say the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And, you know, whether it's stealing a cookie out of a cookie jar or whatever it is, we've all done things wrong. You know, none of us have kept God's standard perfectly. For instance, when the Lord Jesus was asked, you know, to give a summary of the law, what really is the law saying? You know, he said this. He said that you're to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And that's not just an occasional thing. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from the day you're born till the day you die.
Wow.
Now, let's be honest, who can honestly say that they've loved God with all their hearts, minds, soul, and strength? The bottom line is, the person that we love the most is self.
That is true, and
And so we've made self an idol rather than God. You know, because we put self first.
And that's where the second commandment that the Lord Jesus says is that love your neighbor as thyself.
Yes, that's right. And have we really done that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think we have, if we're really honest. And so basically somebody with a religious background, there was a man, and one of the ones we've been talking about this week in our series of Christ is the Answer, there was a man came to the Lord Jesus who was a Pharisee, a Jewish man of the strictest
devout
sect of the Jewish religion. I mean, mm-hmm. these people were very, very devout. And yet the Lord Jesus said to him, unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. In other words, Nicodemus, for all your religion, you don't cut it. You have to be converted.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to the Pharisees again that unless you be converted and become as little children, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so there is that need for a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. And it begins by admitting that I'm a sinner,
mm-hmm.
and that I need a Savior. And the Lord Jesus is the only Savior available to men.
Hmm. Well, you have really touched the heart here, because this is the quest people have, is that, okay, we are good, but then they can't go farther than that. Mm-hmm. So now you're saying Christ is the answer. He has done, mm-hmm. Taken the punishment of that you should have had, and so you are free now. Okay, now we are free. So now we are living a life. Is it easy to live life once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well,
what would be the difference? What was the difference in your life?
Yeah.
Now you did say you stopped partying and mm-hmm. you know, you changed and people did notice your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now for your wife, what changed that? Did she, I mean, of course, you'll have to speak for her because
yes.
she is not here. I really want to see the contrast of the person who was that religious
yes.
and found the Lord. And
I think one of the big contrasts is that if you're really religious, you're always trying to maintain the standard
mm-hmm.
in the hopes that God will accept you.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're basically doing things, going on pilgrimages, but your motive for doing it is to find acceptance with God.
Yes.
Okay, so it's kind of this, you know, you've always got to do the right things because you're hoping that He will accept you.
And never to be sure of it.
Yeah, and never have that absolute assurance.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas where Anne-Marie and myself would be now is that we know that we're accepted on the basis of what the Lord Jesus did for us.
So now you have that assurance.
So we have that assurance that if I was to die tonight, I would go to heaven. Not because I'm a good person,
mm-hmm.
but because I have a great Savior who
mm-hmm.
saved me from my sin and the judgment and the penalty of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you're beginning. Now I live a better life than I did before, but I'm not trying to earn merit before God. I'm just so thankful for what the Lord Jesus did for me
mm-hmm.
that it's an honor to live for Him now. It's
mm-hmm.
a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to ask you many other questions of people have, and the people call in to ask us about
mm-hmm.
About this. But maybe we should wait for a song and then we'll get to it.
अब किसी का डर ना रहेगा अब न आँख से आँसू बहेगा अब न आँख से आँसू बहेगा अब तो आया है राजा हमारा गुनाहों से सबको बचाने अब तो आया है यीशु हमारा हमें पाप से मुक्ति दिलाने तो प्यार की नदियां बहेगी
प्यार की नदियां बहेगी
खुशबू हर डाली पे होगी दुल्हन जैसी दुनिया सजेगी दुल्हन जैसी दुनिया सजेगी अब तो आया है दूल्हा हमारा पापों से पर्दा हटाने अब तो आया मसीहा हमारा संग उसके हमें ले जाने अब कभी ना होगा अंधेरा
कभी ना होगा अंधेरा
है ये आशा का नया सवेरा
ये आशा का नया सवेरा
उसके साथ हमारा बसेरा उसके साथ हमारा बसेरा अब तो आया है दाता हमारा पापों की माफी दिलाने अब तो आया मेहरबान हमारा शैतान को मार हटाने
Welcome back again. We have a music from Vanveer's album and the songs are available for you. If you just call us, our phone number here is 301-879-0474 and email is ifi@dandeker.com. We have a guest in our studio and you have been listening to Mr. Mike Atwood. He is a great speaker. We have been enjoying him every evening here at our church. He just finished telling us about his love story and also the love story of Lord Jesus, that actually he got after this girl who he liked and wanted to marry. And at the meantime, the Lord was in love with him and he wanted him, and the way he the Lord got him is that Mike felt uneasy at his heart. He felt despair at times, and he felt that he needed something more than what he was enjoying life, he thought, and it was not really enjoyment. He thought there was more to life than that. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord Jesus was after him, and he was after his future wife.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I now I would like to answer ask him that if Christ was the answer for that part of your life, now it's been more than 27 years that you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
It was 28 years in June that I became a Christian.
Yes. And since then, how did you experience Christ as the answer for your life? You have been preaching about him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you did mention that you grew up in a Catholic home and church, which is legalism was there, that you had to live by so many rules.
Yes.
And Then how is that compared to the life now you live?
Well, I think one of the things that we perhaps need to emphasize is that I had mentioned that I tried to change and I couldn't change myself. And one of the things that happens when you become a real Christian is that God comes and lives in you by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, He begins to make sweeping changes from the inside out.
So this is where you said, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you tried to be good,
mm-hmm.
and yet you couldn't.
Couldn't do it. And so now, because I have in living within me somebody who is more powerful than me, He can bring about those changes as we cooperate with Him, and He has. He's taken away the desire for a lot of the things that I had before. But also, you know, the idea of disillusionment and being, you know, I had tried religion and tried it very seriously, and yet again found that it didn't satisfy.
The awareness, now this is another issue that comes to my mind, is even for my life too, awareness of that you are really lacking the God standard is not there before. I mean, you have that desire to or want that assurance that you want to, like you said, if you die today, mm-hmm. where you will spend the eternity, and yet you cannot do it. Mm-hmm. And yet you don't know what is lacking because you don't have that sensitivity to God's Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and or even what His standards are.
Right.
And that comes to you after you have really surrendered your life to Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. He's now, you've made Him the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of I'm running my life,
mm-hmm.
I now have an indwelling heavenly guest that lives within me. And he's the one that is in control, and that makes a big difference in your daily life. And as well, just the question of disillusionment. I just want to emphasize that religion didn't satisfy, and then you know, kind of the social scene
mm-hmm.
that I gave myself to left me feeling empty. It took all my money, but left me feeling empty. It didn't satisfy. It never lived up to its expectations. You know, you always hope this weekend is going to be the weekend that you're going to really have a great time, and you always come away with that sense of it just didn't live up to expectations. And I remember when I became a Christian, my father saying to me, "It's just another craze you're going through."
Hmm.
And he had a justification, I suppose, in saying that, because I tried so many different things seeking real meaning and purpose in life that he just said, it's just another craze. But what my dad didn't understand was that there's nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ can really satisfy the heart of man.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we were made was to love God and to glorify Him forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that is certainly, you can't do that without agreeing with Him about His Son. You can't love God and reject His Son at the same time.
Mm.
And you can't love God and reject His plan for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I made that conscious decision to accept the Lord Jesus, it changed everything. Changed the direction, brought satisfaction, brought fulfillment. And there's lots of stories in the Bible like that. We're going to be talking tonight about a woman from Samaria. And this woman, she'd had five husbands,
mm-hmm.
and she was living with number six. She'd got to the point she was so disillusioned with human relationships
mm-hmm.
that she thought there's no point even making it legitimate at this stage. You might as well just, you know, it's not going to work anyway, so I might as well just live with them. That was her mentality. She was looking for the perfect man,
mm-hmm.
and she found him eventually on the well of Sychar, the Lord Jesus, and He said to her, I can give you living water
mm-hmm.
and you'll never thirst again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem, you see. We're all thirsty. We're thirsty for something that will satisfy our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, the human race, we're like kind of butterflies floating from bush to bush,
mm-hmm.
From activity to activity, finding satisfaction. But we're never going to find it unless we agree with God and come His way, and that is finding our real life in the Lord Jesus. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Mm.
And if you want abundant life, That's the way to find it. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus. Not only does it make a difference now, but also, as we've said, you have that assurance that once you pass from this life, and death is the ultimate statistic, one in one dies. So one of these days, listener, today you're going to die. But death is not the end of existence. You will spend eternity somewhere. You have an eternity to spend. You'll either spend it in heaven with the Lord Jesus, and heaven's not going to be boring. We get this idea that people are floating around on clouds, playing harps. Well, that doesn't sound very appealing to me. I'm not very musical anyway, so I don't know that I would enjoy that. But all I know is that this world, God made it, and it's not boring. I mean, there's no, just we're talking about butterflies, there's hundreds of different varieties of butterflies. God never did anything boring. And heaven is not going to be boring. It's going to be wonderful. And so, what a hope to know that that's where I'm going. But also, it's not just pie in the sky when you die. It's steak on the plate while you wait.
Oh, nicely put. But now, do we have God's word stating that? See, sometimes, we need assurance. We talked about assurance. We talked about, we did quote it, but can you give us some verses from the scriptures that we say, okay, because Bible says so, and yep. I will, bank on that. And so, if I die, I have assurance that I will be with him. Or different ones like that now.
Well, I mean, the verse that I quoted, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So right there, there's one. But then
that is John
chapter 3, verse 16. Yeah, and then the Lord Jesus speaks very clearly, and again in John's Gospel, in chapter 10, and he talks about giving us eternal life. And that we'll never perish, and that nobody will pluck us out of his hand, and nobody will pluck us out of his Father's hand. And so that's pretty clear. That's John 10:28. Let me read it again. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Well, that to me is a strong statement of our security as believers in Christ. And you'll never perish. Nobody will pluck you out of my Father's hand.
That's a great
gripped.
Assurance. So it is written in the scriptures. It's not something we are saying. It is in black and white.
It is
over there.
And I think just to say that God, the Bible says that God cannot lie. I didn't say he chooses not to lie. It says he cannot lie. It's against his very nature. God is good. God is love. God is holy. And so he cannot lie. And so because he cannot lie, when he says to me, and I take him seriously, that I love you so much, I gave my only Son, that if you would believe in him, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. He's not lying to me. And so I have that certainty of God's word to give me that assurance. And also, I know that this is real and it's true because it has changed my life. It wasn't just something made up or, I tried to do it myself, I couldn't do it. And so I have the present assurance that he's changed my life.
Well, we have a few minutes left now, and I would like you to share whatever you have on your mind, actually. Give us some encouragement of Christ is the answer of living daily life.
What I would encourage people who are listening to do is the urgency, really, of having a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus and doing it now. The Bible emphasizes the importance of now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And the reason I say that is because life is very fragile at best. And we're not guaranteed our next breath. And it would be a terrible thing to put off doing something about accepting Christ as your Savior, only to find that all of a sudden you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody very dear to me, very close to me, who for 28 years I had shared the gospel with them, and they kept putting it off.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, this summer, they had a massive heart attack, and it's too late.
Huh.
Because, again, why should God receive you to his heaven if you refuse to receive his Son here on earth?
Mm.
And so this is really important. I mean, I can't stress the importance of it. And, you know, just to realize how fragile you are, realize the certainty, death, we've said, is the ultimate statistic. Even with all the advances in medicine, the statistic doesn't lie. One in one dies.
Mm.
And who knows if you're going to be the next one.
That's true.
And so, again, I'd just urge you to accept the Lord Jesus, because he's the answer. He's the answer to whatever your particular issues are. If you're in bondage, maybe, to some kind of sin or whatever, he said he's come to set the captives free. He's the answer. He's the answer to religious pluralism. We're living in a day and age where we're told that we have to be tolerant of every view and every opinion, and that all religions are equally valid, and yet the scripture is very clear. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Mm-hmm.
He also said that there's a broad road that leads to destruction, and many are they that go there on that road.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of that road, destruction. So mm-hmm. all we're doing is, you know, if you were going on a two-lane highway, and at the end of it there was just an abyss, you know, you just went off the... what we're trying to do is we're on the highway there flagging you and telling you, make a U-turn.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a good end.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, he said there's a narrow road that you enter through a narrow gate. That narrow gate is the Lord Jesus.
Uh-huh.
It's not an easy road,
mm-hmm.
but the end of it
mm-hmm.
is life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the encouragement is we need to make sure we're on the right road.
Mm-hmm.
And the God's GPS system is telling you the right road
mm-hmm.
is the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one you need to trust in. He's the only Savior of sinners.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have explained it very well, and all of you who are listening to us today, maybe you are the first time listeners, or you have been listening to us for a while, and we are saying the same thing in many different ways. The message is the same, that Christ is the answer. And I'm sure God is speaking to you in many different ways, just like he has spoke to Mike Atwood in age 14, 15, whatever. In that way, God puts unrest in your heart or puts something in your way that makes you think. Is he speaking to you in some way that is wooing you to himself? Just pause for a moment and think about it. Think about it and just say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you just have any other questions, we are here always. We will be happy to talk with you. If you need a Bible, we have Bibles available in your language, whichever language you speak. In Indian has so many languages. We have Bibles in all different languages. We can provide that for you. Or you can, all of you learn, know English. You can, we always say, you can even don't have a Bible, get Bible from dollar stores. Just for $1, it's available. And read it as Mike Atwood started reading. And if you have questions, we are here to answer and help you in any other way we can. I'm so glad you are here, and Mr. Atwood, and you have been encouraged us greatly today. And with you, I can also say to our listeners that today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
You can you say a word before
Well, just thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm glad to be able to talk about the person that I love more than anybody else in the world, and that's not my wife, although I love her dearly, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a pleasure to be able to speak of Him, and I just recommend Him to you.
Well, I'm glad that you tuned in today, and our phone number, let me give it to you again, 301-879-0474, and the email is ifi@dandeker. I'm Sheila Dandekar.